Welcome to Clue, the Coronavirus Legal Update, a podcast by the Miller Law Firm, providing you with the latest legal information related to the coronavirus and how it impacts you, your small business, or your large business in South Carolina. I'm your host, Attorney Melissa Miller of the Miller Law Firm. Today, we sit down with representative of Holyoke Chemical, James Cashin, who will talk about the supply chain in South Carolina and any potential disruptions that small businesses need to know about, as well as how small businesses can protect themselves in terms of sanitation and disinfection. Without further ado, let's talk with James and get our first clue. James, thank you for joining the podcast. I wanted to talk a little bit today about how small businesses, what services can Holyoke Chemical provide small businesses who are struggling in this economy?
Well, Holyoke Chemical is a toll manufacturer, what's known as an external manufacturer. We manufacture chemical for other chemical companies. So we are always looking for people out there who have products that they're trying to bring to market, or large companies that have products that are looking for a place to outsource it to. And we can provide those products from very small scale of, you know, 5-gallon bucket all the way up to tank wagons or multiple tank wagons at a time of those products. We work with fairly broad range of products from soaps and detergents and cleaners and part washes and things like that, all the way up to EPA and FDA registered products that are used in for disinfection, disinfectants, hand sanitizers, things like that. And right now, of course, that's what everybody is very focused on and very interested in, is the disinfecting chemicals and the hand sanitizers.
So you're a company right here in Greenville, South Carolina, correct?
That's right. We're located in Fountain Inn, the tip of the Golden Strip.
Okay. And you can provide small businesses with chemical products to disinfect, to sanitize. Is that correct?
Well, we produce chemicals for other chemical companies. We work for numerous companies whose product that they sell and distribute are disinfectants and hand sanitizers. So if people are interested in purchasing those products, I could put you in touch with the right people. If you have a product that you need manufactured, we're happy to discuss manufacturing the product for you.
All right. So that's something that if a business has a particular type of disinfectant or disinfecting, for lack of a better term, program that they want to do within their small business, they can contact you, consult, and find the best way to go about sanitizing and disinfecting.
We can put them in touch, depending on what products they're looking for, with the right customer that we manufacture for, to help them get to the right people to find it. If there's someone who has their own product, we're certainly happy to discuss it with them. Obviously, when you get into the EPA and FDA registered products, that's not something that you can just cook up in your kitchen and then scale up and go to market with. There's a lot involved in that, and we work with a lot of companies who do those things. What disturbs and bothers us is there is a flood of people coming into the market with, you know, snake oil and everything else, and a lot of products, and making a lot of claims that are not correct, shall we say, and a lot of people that are spreading a lot of misinformation. And, you know, our concern is always that somebody does something that puts a bad name on the chemical industry or other products, and a lot of people that try to say, well, we're the same as this, and they're really not. People should be very wary of what they purchase. If you've never heard of any of it before and they can't back it up with actual documentation, I would avoid it.
Okay. So not only can you provide small businesses with information on whether a chemical is safe, or, you know, something more than snake oil, it actually is a product that works, but also you can customize some of those chemical products for them. Is that correct?
Yes, potentially. I mean, we're here to blend for people who have product lines. I would just say, caveat emptor, buyer beware. We've seen a lot of people flooding the market with a lot of very questionable products, and perhaps chemically they're fine, but a lot of the claims and things they're saying are not in compliance with the rules and regulations. And the number one thing I've heard from people is, the government's throwing all the rules out for this. And there's a reason those rules were there, and I know that people are
is, I can tell you, the number one weapon that you need is soap and water. You don't have if you can get the soap and water, that's good. There's a lot of really good products out there that can do a lot of amazing other things, but good old soap and water can do an awful lot of it. You don't have to have a hand sanitizer in 5 minutes.
Okay. What problems, I know you're eminently familiar with the supply chain right now in the manufacturing industry, because that's the business of Holyoke Chemical. We all specialize in the manufacturing and the distribution of chemical products. What problems are you seeing right now in the manufacturing industry and in the supply chain as a result of this pandemic that small business owners need to know about?
As with any product, it's composed of dozens of parts, including all the packaging. So when you build a product, you need the container, the pallet, the shrink wrap, the labels, all the components that go into it. Any one of those parts is missing can potentially cause a problem with it going out the door. Right now, we've been able to bring in and stockpile raw materials that we feel are essential to making and continuing to make what our focus is right now, which is the disinfectants and antimicrobial products. But, you know, we know that a lot of these products, we're a global economy, parts come from all over the world and we're put together. If we're concerned we lose one piece of the puzzle, you can't make the finished product. We've not seen that supply chain fall apart yet, but we're obviously concerned because very few parts are made completely domestically. I would say almost none are completely domestically. There's almost always something that's coming from somewhere else. And as everyone battens down the hatches, those components and something that you would not think of as simple as a adhesive for a back of a label or some other base product that goes into something, the spout for a 5 gallon bucket or something, if anybody misses one piece, the whole chain kind of starts to fall apart. So we feel that the service we're providing right now with these products is very important, and we're preparing things for shipment for our customers all over the world. And we're already seeing where traffic over the oceans, which was the most popular economical way to do it, is no longer as viable. We've seen a lot of people have to ship to 5 gallon buckets because they're able to be air freighted all over the world. And it does present a lot of new challenges. And obviously we're looking for a lot of changes in the pricing structure of all these parts and components as people are having to air freight things to get them moving or potentially source them from other places.
So you are seeing some effects on the supply chain here in South Carolina?
A few cost fluctuations are starting to happen. We're starting to get some reports that, the ports, as you know, like the ports have closed on the West Coast and the ports in Texas have closed. It takes those boats a while to get here from China. When China shut down, they stopped putting boats on the water. Our boats are now stuck in limbo. These are long supply chains that stretch all around the globe, and a lot of it is on the water. So the ripple effects for this could be quite long lasting. We haven't run out of anything yet, but when we do, we really don't know, and no one can tell us. They don't really know how long it'll be to reestablish those lines. If China is back online today, which I don't know if they truly are or not, and start putting boats on the water, right now the ports aren't open here. So we're assuming the ports on the East Coast are still open at this point, but the West Coast is closed and Texas is closed. Most of those imports coming over from Asia are having to come a lot farther to get to the open ports. There's a lot of uncertainty, and these are already supply chains that take, months sometimes to get items where they need to go. Once things start running out, we're probably going to have to get creative.
What can businesses do to get ahead of the curve? If there is a slowdown in the supply chain, and that's what you're hinting at, is there anything that businesses can do to protect themselves or insulate themselves as much as possible from
what's coming? Because it sounds like this is going to be something long lasting for businesses.
Well, the global market, the reason it was a global market is it could be made cheaper in other places. Just to be blunt, most of the places in the world, when you watch where the industry bounces around, whether it's plastics or textiles, which is a big one here in the upstate, it went other places because it was cheaper. Labor was cheaper and there were no regulations. That's why everything's going the places it's going now. They're free to pollute and do a lot of things. My background is environmental science. A lot of things that I'm not ethically or morally okay with aren't done here. A lot of those products could be made here and could be made in much cleaner factories, much more environmentally conscious companies, but it costs more. As a manufacturer in the U.S., someone who's grown up in a manufacturing company, enjoys manufacturing, likes being around manufacturing, has watched the textile industry die off here in the upstate. You know, it's a major industry for the whole region, has watched it die and move to other parts of the world. I would love to see that manufacturing come back. I think we have very capable people here, and a lot of these products, there's the only reason they're really not made here is economic reasons. And this is potentially a major wake-up call that a lot, especially for a lot of critical components, to bring that manufacturing back here and establish it here and to do it in a more controlled manner. As anybody who has spent any time looking at anything with the environment knows, plastics are wonderful until we're done using them. And most plastics are, a great deal of plastics are single use. And I would like to see that industry dramatically changed. I know a lot of the companies that have stayed here in the U.S. and can produce those things here, they have made a fantastic transition in the last 10 years to being much more conscious of the entire life of those containers or plastic and things. Not just how does it perform when you use it, but what do you do when you're done with it? What's next? How do you recycle it? How do you have a circular economy? A lot of those technologies and people are here. It's just simply more expensive. And it's also things that people just need to be a little more conscious of. But I would hope that if anything comes out of this, people look at some of the components that are critical and they look at some of these issues and say, there's a better way to do it. It's always hard to pay a little more right now, but in the long run, this is going to be better for everybody. It'll be higher quality products that are more sustainable. And I really feel that over the past, at least my lifetime, America has really lost something that made us special, which was our ability to manufacture and do these things. We've just slowly, piece by piece, sold it away to get a cheaper product and to go to, you know, a kind of use it and pitch it philosophy on almost everything. I watch people every day, you know, from the fast food that they eat and all the containers it comes in to everything else, just eat it, use it once, and it goes in a trash can and it all goes to the landfill. And it, I think the technology is there, and perhaps when people really start looking at this, there's some other benefits to be reaped from bringing more of that manufacturing back here and looking at the technology that has really changed in the past 15, 20 years, what they can do now with plastics and other products and really make superior products that are more of a circular economy.
And that may be where we're headed with this pandemic. It may force us to bring manufacturing back home. Yeah. It sounds like they're
cheap and easy is cheap and easy, but there's definitely some heavy economic, not so much economic and environmental bills to be paid that we've been pushing down really since a revolution in the chemical industry after World War II in the 1950s with plastics. I mean, just pumping out millions and millions of pounds of plastic every year and then just throwing them all in a landfill or the ocean is really not sustainable. And there's a lot better technology out there. And a lot of people who have buckled down and stayed here in the U.S. and kept it here have really advanced those products.
Well, James, I appreciate you joining our podcast. This has been a production of the Miller Law Firm, PA. I'm your host, Attorney Melissa Miller. Today, we're talking with Executive Vice President and Environmental Health and Safety Manager James Cashin of Holyoke Chemical here in South Carolina. Website for Holyoke Chemical is holyokechem.com. Phone number 864-862-5553. Any other information you'd like our listeners to know, James?
No, just stay safe and, you know, we'll all get through it together.
Thank you, James. Thank you, listeners. Until our next clue, thanks for joining us today.